What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday to you. Gosh, we are just a few days away from Christmas. 9 to be precise. Gosh, are you ready? Are you all set? It's funny, I was thinking about Christmas presents, as you do, and I was wondering, you know, is it worth reminding everybody that most people have got nearly, apart from the kids, of course, but most people have pretty much got what they want in their lives. So how can we give gifts that are useful and perhaps part of a solution to this this issue we've got around this human term, the climate crisis? And I just wanted to remind everybody that there are some amazing you know, ways of giving to people where you are supporting nature. And there are things like, you know, World Land Trust offer these land packages where you can pay anything from £50 to £100, and it protects half an acre or an acre of rainforest in really, really important parts of the world. And then there are, you know, these apps there that you can actually buy trees, and you don't actually own the trees, but what you do is you buy these trees to be either saved or planted, and then you get to reduce your carbon footprint because you get the CO2 emissions over the 20 years or you know, the drawing of CO2 emissions out of the atmosphere for those trees over the 20 years. And so there's some pretty cool things like that. So, you know, if you are looking for alternative ways to gift your friends and your family and ways that you can be supportive to nature, then I would suggest either protecting land, protecting trees, protecting nature, or planting trees is going to be my number one recommendation. So do have a look in that. You can go to any of your search engines. Ecology is a really Ecosia is a really good search engine, because every time you do a search on that website, they plant trees for you just for doing searches. So that's amazing. And then there are various apps out there like Ecology and various others where you can actually, you know, pay £50, put trees into somebody's name. They get a certificate, or they get a kind of a data audit of that particular purchase. And that, yeah, it kind of all goes from there. So yeah, so do consider doing that, particularly if it's a last minute thing. And the other thing I would recommend, and this is kind of a bit more boring, but could you look at essential presents? Like, what's an essential present that your friend or family might need? Like, something essential. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that our current economy is boosted on 85% of things that we buy being non-essential. How crazy is that? So it essentially means that if we were to stop buying anything that's not essential, i.e. food and water and, you know, and energy and necessities in order to keep our lives, you know, all of that 85% of stuff is non-essential, so they're kind of extras. How could you consider buying something for friends and family that are an essential gift? So, you know, what do they need in their lives? What do they have to have in their lives? And that could be a pretty, pretty cool thing to do. Anyway, so that's my rather boring top Christmas gift ideas. Try telling that to the kids. Of course, that's completely different. You know, we all spoil our children at Christmas, just like we were spoiled at Christmas. So it's just the way it is. But remembering that this time is very much more about the solstice, which happens on the 21st of December. So it'd be the winter solstice, which in a pagan time, that was the ritual that was we now call Christmas, but that would have been the ritual-based time where we would celebrate the winter solstice and everything that the year's brought us. And then, yes, and then we're moving back towards the light, back towards more daylight, back towards, more abundance and fecundity in that will be coming in our next round of spring. So anyway, there we are. Today's guest, you may remember if you were with us just a few weeks ago, is the amazing Muriel Loren, who we've hung out since. We had a week together on a retreat quite recently, so we can maybe talk a little bit about that. But what was so intriguing about Muriel's time with us is that we really scratched the surface of the subject matters, and I became a little bit frustrated at the end of it because I was like, I want to hear more. And I reckon if I want to hear more, I think you guys are going to want to hear more. So we've asked Muriel to come back and join us today. And yeah, I mean, it's a super exciting time. So, Moria, welcome to the show. Thank you again for getting up at the early hours of the crack of dawn to come and meet with us.
Jarvis, thank you so much for having me back on the show. We had a great talk last time about the nature of reality and the universe and how we can find our place in it. And today I'm hoping we'll get to dive even deeper. And I know a lot of our listeners are probably personally curious about what are some of the most important signs of the times that might be coming
Absolutely.
for the next year as
Yeah.
we exit 2024 and exit 2025. So
Yes.
I've got some thoughts and suggestions if we want to go there.
Definitely, definitely. So that was, I think that was, one of the highlights of the gift that you bring is the kind of reading the timelines based on, I think if I remember correctly, the cosmology, the astrology, your wisdom and I guess brilliance or professionalism in the training that you've done in order to understand these timelines. So before we do that, and sign of the times is a definite one, just remind us again, remind our listeners, hello out there, I'm sure you're keen to know, just remind us the process, what the process is before we go into actually the reading itself. Moriel has the ability and training to be able to read what the astrological timelines are of either an individual's soul purpose or a era, what's happening in this particular timeline, which is what we're going to do today, the kind of 24 to 25 era and beyond, but also individuals that she might not know personally, like important characters in modern times, like our presidents or prime ministers or leaders of big companies, and she's able to literally predict through sensical information kind of what's in store for them. Not exactly like fine detail, but kind of there are certain qualities of information that relate to certain astrological readings that are based on your time you were born, where you were born, and what stars were aligned with you in that particular moment. So that's what Muriel does. I mean, she's going to obviously talk about it in a bit more detail. And what we're going to do today is we're actually going to look at the next 12 months in terms of what's predicted for our planet, what's predicted in terms of trends and cultures and, possibly challenges and also amazing things. So that's what we're going to do today. So hopefully, Maria will come back and join us. In the meantime, let me just remind you that. My background and my wife's background is we set up a company called MyGreenPod, and MyGreenPod.com is essentially the all singing and dancing, ethical news, ethical products, sustainability brands, etc., etc. And we put out a news story every single day on MyGreenPod.com. We just did a tips for Christmas, so I'm gonna read that out actually because it literally went out today, 16th of December. And the line says, or should I say, the headline says, Sustainable Elves give festive top tips to schools. This is really lovely. So, any of you that are connected to a school or you've got kids in school, For schools enjoying Christmas, Hanukkah or Eid, of course, there are other, times to celebrate this time of year. I talked about winter solstice or Diwali, of course. The festive season is one of the trickiest times to keep sustainability in mind. Now, what it goes on to say is, you can craft your decorations, you can cut a tree or plant a tree, you can make festive cards more sustainable, you can, I'm just going to go through these really quickly because Muriel's back, upcycling wrapping paper, you can swap We Love Christmas jumpers, you can host a secondhand secret Santa, create a giving tree, cut waste at the school Christmas lunch, that'd be fun, have a Christmas book exchange. And appoint an energy elf, and it goes on to say, create sustainable pledges for the planet. Please do check out that post. It went up live today on mygreenpod.com. Check it out, and you can get those tips that you can ask your children to take into school tomorrow to educate and inform and inspire any of the other pupils or teachers. Muriel, welcome back. I'm not sure what happened, but I'm guessing you had a power outage or something crazy.
Well, the universe gave us a brief intermission with our technology, but we are apparently back online.
Fantastic. I could see both my kind of face and my producer's face going, ah! But he's smiling again now. Johan, thank you. Sorry we didn't give you any kind of minor heart missing a beat. We're getting a thumbs
Well,
up.
you know, it's probably a sign that what we were about to talk about was so juicy and exciting that the universe needed an intermission and a break before we dove into
Yeah.
it. So,
Yeah, we had
with
to have
that
a
in
pause.
mind,
We had to have a pause. I think everybody listening maybe had to go and just grab that glass of water or a cup of tea, get seated in a nice position, sit back, and let's get into what is going. I was trying to explain because obviously you weren't able to how the process is done. But could you again just remind us the process? Doesn't need to be long. Just a quick overview.
Absolutely. So when we ask ourselves questions about timelines, like how can we know what's coming next? We need to first consider three things. Number one, where does time come from? Number two, what is the method or process through which we can understand qualities of different time periods? And then number three, what may be the upcoming qualities of the future time periods?
Yeah.
So let's tackle that. And then I have a few things to say about what might be coming for us in 2025.
Okay.
So, time comes from orbital rotation and planetary motion, which is probably a surprising fact that most people wouldn't consider. So, time is a function of speed and motion. And so, when you look at our universe, what's moving? What's turning? The planet. And in comparison to other planets. So our planet turns on its axis, but then it's also orbiting and rotating around the sun and other planets. So it's actually the movement of the planets that creates our experience of time. In fact, if the planets were to stop turning, time would stop. Hence the idea of timelessness or eternity.
Yeah.
So then the next thing for us to look at is the system of understanding that as different planets are moving around each other in different alignments at different rates of speed, certain things happen within those different time frames. It's
Yeah.
almost like time has a certain behavior or quality or pattern about it. And over thousands of years, astronomers and cosmologists have tracked what are the most common behavioral patterns and changes that happen as these cycles of time move because of the planetary movements. And so we have data and record and information of the most predictable patterns that happen when our planets are in certain alignments. So this brings us to the curiosity, of course, about what's happening for us next. So in 2025, something really exciting that hasn't happened in over 250 years is going to be in full process. And that has to do with one of the key alignments of the planet Pluto in our solar system. And it's going to bring up some really interesting changes around science, technology, innovation, revolution, and our definition of freedom. So I really think that the upcoming timeframe has a lot to do with the future of energy. Now, the shift of Pluto into the direction of the constellation of Aquarius, actually, the last time this happened was about 250 years ago with the founding of the United States. Why do I bring that up? Well, I'm an American, so it stands out as an interesting factoid in history to me. Now, in the patterns, Pluto seems to be an archetype that represents the power of death or rebirth and transformation. And historically speaking, when it's moved into the alignment of Aquarius, it brings a sense of innovation, a bit of rebellion, and independence. And the time frame is about a 20-year time frame. So actually, this alignment started this year as we're having this conversation in 2024, and it's going to continue for another 20 years to 2044. So we've got a 20-year window in society and our civilizations where we're going to be seeing a lot of scientific and technological innovation, and also the idea of a lot of revolutions in some of our geopolitical matters. So we may be wondering, what is liberty? How will we define that? What do we belong to? Are we autonomous? And what is possible? And are we enlightened? It's interesting because I also think that this symbol reminds me of something stated in the Hindu scriptures, which has to do with large time cycles called yugas. Now, the Hindu scriptures talk about repeating circular movement of how civilization evolves. And there's a particular time period called the Dwapara Yuga, or the era of energy. Now, it's interesting because the ancient Hindu teachings predict that our current yuga or time cycle might be defined by some new discoveries in science and technology that irrevocably alter our understanding of energy. And that this new understanding of energy will change both our everyday life as well as our spiritual concept. What's really cool is that it's predicted during the Dwapara Yuga that we'll learn how to transcend space and distance, such as possibilities like inventing instantaneous travel. You know, it's interesting. We see examples of instantaneous travel when we look at the extraterrestrial phenomenon called the Tic Tac videos, which a lot of people have seen through the United States Navy and military, which was revealed. We might also finally discover how to implement things like Nikola Tesla's universal energy power concept. And we might learn to better comprehend and utilize energetic correspondences like telepathy, Reiki, and remote viewing. So I also think that this era of Pluto shifting into Aquarius and bringing on some of the characteristics of the Hindu Dwapara Yuga, in some ways too, might signal a bit of a battle of humanity over the next two decades that might be linked to themes about how we're choosing to use or understand artificial intelligence, extraterrestrial life, and energy. I think it'll bring up for us questions around how do we define what is human and how do we define what is real? So I'm curious to see how might some of these new discoveries in energy shift both our entire global economy, but also how might some scientific research into the study of energy also transform our understanding of spirituality? Do you want to talk about that a little bit more, Jarvis?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's all amazing. I tell you what, we're going to have to go to a commercial break. So absolutely, I want to talk about that. Or more importantly, I want to be inspired and educated and listen to you. But if I do have any questions, of course, I'll bring it into conversation. Let's pop to a commercial break and we will be back very, very quickly. See you in a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Jarvis Smith, UK Health Radio. This is our show, Lean Into Clean, where we look at the sustainable, the spiritual and the social impact of today's living. I've got Mario Loren with us, who's just about to give us pretty much a personal reading of what are the factors that are coming into play for next year. Now, first, quick question, Muriel. Do you, is your end of year winter solstice 21st, or would it be the 31st of December? Like, what would you consider to be your end of year for this particular, for this practice?
Jarvis, I love to follow the rules of Mother Nature. And yep. So for me, the seasonal equinoxes and solstices really feel like the turning points of the year. So yep. For me personally, the winter solstice feels more like the conclusion of the year than
me too.
The December 31st.
I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the winter solstice feels like the culmination of the wisdom and the experience that I've had from the year prior. And it's also a time for going inwards and reflecting and rejuvenating.
Yeah.
Because in Mother Nature, it's that time, at least in my part of the world, where it's the darkest day of the year. We have the least amount of sunlight. And so to me, that's very symbolic of the womb or the cave and the inner world. So I love to use the winter solstice as my time of culminating reflection and inner work, and to silently begin to prepare for what new beginnings may be coming as we head towards the spring equinox after that over the next 3 months.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I was hoping you were going to say that. Okay, let's get into it then. So I think you ended with, I mean, first of all, let me just say, we've got two songs that we're going to play for you. Does now feel like a good time to play one, or should we get into it and then we can play your song in a little while? What would you prefer?
Let's finish our quick chat about a couple of these themes for 2025, and then let's definitely get into one of those songs.
Okay, cool. That's good. That's good. I just wanted to check with you because I didn't want to. Okay, cool. Let's do that then. So let's get into it.
So, you know, this transition from 2024 into 2025 is really setting us up for what will be a 20-year period of innovation and revolution marked by the movement of Pluto into the constellation of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. So these things that we'll be discovering in innovation and revolution are going to be quite interesting to watch them affect society for approximately a time frame of 20 years. And also to realize the opportunities in many different industries that are associated with some of these hot topics like AI, extraterrestrial research, the discovery of different forms of energy, to capitalize, I think, for ourselves on how can we revolutionize and change those industries and apply it into our everyday life and experience in positive ways. So, you know, I think part of it too is trying to define for ourselves what is human and what is real as technology and AI and virtual reality, psychedelics, alternative energy, and extraterrestrial discovery and exploration are going to become increasingly unavoidable parts of our everyday narrative. We may need to begin asking ourselves, how will we make what's called human rights decisions in places like medicine, law, employment, and ethics, right? I think also too, as human mimicry of advanced technologies or even extraterrestrial technologies are being developed by our governments, it could help lead to resource innovations in the field of energy, right? That possibility of new forms of energy or even free energy that scientists like Nikola Tesla had always envisioned. Mm-hmm. But it'll be curious in the initial stages of discovering new forms of energy, how will that affect our global investments in geological energy resources like oil, coal, and gas? What will be the necessary improvements and innovations that will be required there? And what will happen also with the billions of dollars in jobs that are associated with those industries, right? So I think the advancement in different forms of energy is on its way to us between 2024 and 2044. But we're really going to have to consider it, particularly in the early stages, how those new discoveries in energy are really going to shift our entire global economy, but also our geopolitical involvements with other countries.
That all sounds very healthy in many ways, because that's the kind of transition that we absolutely need.
Yes.
Because of this thing we are humans are calling a crisis, which incidentally, just to put it out there, I don't think it's a crisis. I think this is our opportunity. And I think what you're alluding to is that the opportunities that are going to arise cosmically, universally, as part of the plan, right?
Yeah, I think that this transition we're experiencing right now between 2024 to 25, that's setting us up for this 20-year time cycle, is the necessary and inevitable and opportune catharsis, or as you said, crisis point, or I might give it a different word, initiation. It's going to, in the beginning stages, really open the door and awaken the shift from crisis to invitation or initiation, right? To
Good.
Cross a threshold that we've needed to cross in a lot of our energy resources and how it's affecting the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this has been a long time coming, and it's opening a beautiful 20-year door for
Yeah.
us to jump in and tackle the issues. And a lot of these, I think, companies and researchers who have been on the forefront of innovation around sources of energy are going to have their moment in the spotlight.
Yay! All right. Well, just remember, guys, I did call this. I've been saying it for some months now.
Maybe Jarvis, maybe you need to have my job.
Maybe there's a prophecy there. Well, I think the thing is, Muriel, and this is like, you know, this is this, I really mean this, is that if those of us that have taken the time to, you know, deepen a practice in the what I would call the sacred arts, you know, whether that's through yoga and meditation and Reiki and, you know, and connected with nature and shamanism and all of that stuff, right? Then it is my belief, and certainly my understanding and my experience, that you do tap into a frequency of wisdom that is, I think, exactly the same way that you're tapping into it. You are using that vehicle of your training in order to understand and interpret what's going on. And I do a similar thing, but just in a different way, because I've got a different skill set. But the information seems to be the same resource, or certainly very, very similar. So that's fascinating.
Well, Jarvis, on that, I have something else to say about your insight into how we can use the sacred arts to find out information about our life and our universe. But my perspective has a lot to do with a contemporary understanding or modern day proof of how the invisible or energetic or sacred arts actually work.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the pattern of 2024 to 2044 with the shift of Pluto into the constellation of Aquarius is going to bring scientific research into the study of energy that also transforms our understanding of spirituality.
Yes.
Why is this? Because things like neuroscience and psychedelic research and consciousness studies are already proving the existence of the electromagnetic soul. And so as we continue to find out more information through those spaces about the electromagnetism of the soul and levels of subtle energy fields that go beyond the obvious energy fields we've already studied.
Mm-hmm.
And even too, as we explore outer space and maybe possibly come into contact with extraterrestrial forms of intelligence and life, the other intelligences out there, you know, this is going to, I think, bring proof of the soul that will permanently change and validate the teachings of the world's oldest spiritual traditions about the role of humanity in the cosmos at large.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're really going to see proof of the soul in contemporary language as scientific research continues to endeavor in this way.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Because it's very simple, isn't it? If there is, if you like, mainstream witness to an alternative reality or an extraterrestrial being, you know, that's whether in another dimension or whether they come from another planet, or it's probably the same thing, because I think I've got a handle on what how dimensions work. I'll explain that from my perspective in a minute. That is going to literally blow all of the man-made kind of concepts that we call religion. It's going to kind of blow them out of the water a little bit, isn't it? Let me tell you a bit about my experience about multidimensionality, because I think we're tapping into that when we're talking about energy and we're talking about understanding the frequencies of energy. And then you've got the quantum field. And then if you can obviously get into the quantum field, then you can literally be at one with knowing, you know, things before, things after, in the moment, but in a multi-dimensional way. You know what? The human language for this stuff is very, very clumsy, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to use the best words that I can to make it simple. But let me tell you this, Muriel. I had an experience in Hawaii when I was deeply, deeply on my kind of yoga shamanic training journey. I was out there with my teacher and 20 other kind of, you know, students, I guess. And what we did is we practiced yoga on the land one day, and then went and swam with the dolphins the next day. So it was this constant interaction between land and sea. And I remember being in a pod and a dolphin pod all swimming around me. And, you know, this time you were allowed to swim with the free dolphins in that particular part of the world. You're not now. So this was some like 20 years ago, 25 years ago or something. And I remember that night going to bed, and I closed my eyes and I was just seeing the most amazing, amazing mandalas and shapes and colors. And it felt to me like I was just getting these just really exquisite, beautiful downloads, right? Now, I now know, winding forward 25 years later, this happens quite a lot now. This is a kind of, you know, a regular, not a regular, but quite a usual experience if it does happen through meditation and through practice. But anyway, this particular time is an earlier part of my journey. And I remember waking up the next day, and I very clearly understood that water and the earth and the air were multi-dimensions within our own atmosphere, within our own ecosystem. And I put this to the test, and I went into the water and I said, okay, if this is a dimension, I understand it to be multidimensional, then I want to be able to breathe underwater. And I, honestly, as mad as this sounds, I remember going underwater, and it felt like to me I was underwater for like an hour. And I remember these fish coming over, and that small school of fish. And then they started showing me what I would describe as a DNA helix in the water. It was amazing. It was honestly, it was absolutely amazing. Now, some people out there are going to be going, oh, yeah, you're wacky as hell. But that was my experience. It was true to me. I felt like I could breathe underwater, and I felt like I was being guided by nature, being shown essentially, I think, the evolution of our DNA, or maybe my DNA was being upgraded. Who knows? But that I think is just a very simplistic opportunity for us to assess that maybe we're living multidimensionality in our world without even having to go off to extraterrestrial, you know, dimensions, etc., etc. So just wanted to share that.
Jarvis, that is an incredible example of realizing what's the truth hiding in plain sight, the truth yes. that's staring us in the face, which is we're already living in a multidimensional reality.
Yes, exactly.
And we're actually already experiencing what one could label as extraterrestrial intelligence in all these different life forms of aquatic animals, birds, reptiles, yeah,
exactly.
all carry different types of genius than the human does,
yeah.
but that are all equally relevant, and that we have this beautiful ecosystem where we can translate and come to understand and live in harmony with the birds and the fish and the yeah. land animals, even though they don't have what we would call human intelligence. So I think there's a bit of cosmic humor in that sometimes when people yeah. hear about ideas of extraterrestrial life or multi-dimensions, they think it sounds really wacky and really woo-woo. But when you look at your life and you realize between earth and air and land and water, you're already living in a multi-dimensional yeah. reality, and you're already beautifully interacting with lots of different types of beings and intelligences in the harmonious ecosystem that we're actually already doing it and living it.
Yeah.
And so the idea isn't out there, it's what's already here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think that you know, it feels like the time now is about, you know, being open to invite, you know, whatever the next kind of plane of consciousness is, or the next paradigm of consciousness is just to be open and still enough and rhythmically in balance enough to invite it in, so that we can invite it into our experience now without having to die and go off and, you know, do it again. But listen, let's play. In fact, no, we're going to go to a commercial break. What we'll do is we'll go to the commercial break. We'll come back and then we'll play your first song. Tell us what that song is going to be, and then if it's all right with my producer, we'll go to the commercial break and we'll go straight into the music, and then we can come back to chat. Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs up for that. It's great. So what song are you going to play first, Muriel?
Let's see. I think, what is our first song? Is it, I think it's the Estes Tone, Message from the Stars.
Yes, exactly. So the two that you've chosen is Stars by Estes Tone, but it's entirely up to you. Is that the one we're going to go with first?
Yes, I think
yeah.
So.
Great.
And I chose that song because the producer of that song was given a message, a channeled message during the creation of that song, which is, can we remember the original plan for humanity? And so I loved it because the message of the stars is all about us finding our place in the universe and remembering why we're here.
Oh, I love that. So we're going to go to a commercial break and we're going to come back straight into the song. So those of you who are listening, if you get a moment, just close the eyes, feel the message. Listen with your skin, not with your ears. Listen with your whole body and just see if it get translate a message through to you. And I will see you back here after commercial break in the song, and we'll get back into Muriel's wisdom. Speak to you and see you soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, what a fantastic, fantastic song. Yes. So what message do you get from that tune?
To me, the music takes me into an altered space in my inner eye that has more to do with feelings and impressions than logic. And it takes me to an ethereal place that feels connected to a bigger purpose or a bigger source than myself, and reminds me that I'm part of it and it's part of me, and that that's bigger than anything the sheer logic of the human mind can assess. But it's something the soul instantly recognizes.
I like it. Okay, so is there anything else that you might want to add in terms of information that would be useful for all of us about next year? I mean, you know, there's some clearly interesting things happening already on the planet. You know, this alternative president that you've now got in the States, which, you know, got a majority vote, seems to be changing, doing things radically different to the last people in power. So that, I think that can only ever be a good thing. Nothing about the personal person, but just about the shift. We've got, obviously, you know, quite a lot of geopolitical things going on around the world at the moment, which are, you know, challenging to say the least. But What are the kind of, how does this filter down to the everyday person from your perspective?
A few things I think we'll experience with the geocosmic shift happening is, first of all, a breakaway from corporatocracy and traditional lifestyles that suck the life out of you and mainstream materialism, and a shift away from those things towards a society and individual experience that craves more freedom and individuality and originality. And I think this is going to start by a values realignment that is redefining what success means to us in the modern day.
Good. I like the sound of that.
Now, in that, we're going to see the emergence of a lot of side hustles and entrepreneurial gigs or more flexible working arrangements and a lot more collaborations across different industries in unexpected ways. Because as a collective, and also both personally, as we're craving more freedom and individuality and originality, we are naturally going to want to create work structures that are more creative and more flexible and more visionary. I also see a huge continued shift to business online or business that's able to maybe function in co-working spaces. So, you know, the whole idea of brick and mortar businesses or people being stuck in an office, you know, every day, all day, started to really fall apart around the year of the pandemic. And I think that this current shift of Pluto into Aquarius is going to put the thumbnail on that, saying that, yes, what we need to be building in terms of our future is collaborative business spaces, flexible business spaces, eco-conscious business spaces, where we're connected to both our creative work as well as the natural flow of the environment around us. And I think a lot of people are going to reach the healthy breaking point of lifestyle revolution, that feeling of something's gotta give, right? Because as we're moving away from defining success as exclusively money, career, and power, which is what we've done for a fair amount of time in society, and we start realizing that success has to also do with fulfillment and sustainability and creativity and collaboration and individual purpose, I think a lot of people are going to look at their current way of doing business or their lifestyle or the pace that they have and say, I'm not sure that this is the only way that it can be done. We're also going to see a huge interest in energy. We talked about it in industries, but I think at an individual level too, a lot of people are going to become super curious about spirituality, psychedelics, mindfulness practices, dream work, because I think society and individuals are finally ready to embrace the idea that, quote unquote, something's out there.
Yeah, I agree. And intuitively, I've been picking up on this stuff for a good few years now. And it does feel like for some reason, 2025 is going to be a pretty special moment in our time, in our history. So brilliant. Thank you for that. I'm conscious we've only got 10 minutes left. I really want to get your next song in, and might be a good moment for us to do that. So the second song that you've chosen is Return to Innocence by Enigma. Let's play that, and then you can tell me why you chose that particular record. Maria, we'll see you back here in just a few minutes.
Fantastic.
Ah, welcome back. I love that record. It just always gives me such a lovely feeling. But tell me why did you choose that? Why did you choose that record, Maria?
That song takes me back to childhood when I was driving through Hawaii with my family and I first heard that song, and it made me feel so free and so innocent, which is of course the title of the song, to just feel free to be myself. And as you're a kid driving through the pineapple fields of the Hawaiian Islands, I think that we're all trying to return to the innocence of our original soul, ourselves, who we are underneath who we've become. And that's also the key for individual growth. And I think the key for humanity's growth spiritually too, to just remember our original innocence and the goodness within us and the depth of our hearts and our deeper purpose for being here.
Beautiful. Love it. So we are coming literally in the last 5 minutes of our... Oh, it goes so quickly. It's like, I wish we could make time, wish we could stretch time a bit more for this. But I hope everybody out there has been, you know, inspired and, you know, somewhat kind of tuned in to perhaps what the frequencies are, what the vibrations and the consciousnesses are going to be there for us next year. And maybe consider letting go of anything that's, you know, that's keeping you from connecting with the natural cycle and the natural rhythm. That would be my recommendation. So remember, words are powerful, thoughts are powerful, and actions are powerful. So you can take responsibility for those. In fact, it's probably the only thing we are completely in response, responsible for or in control of. So, Maria, what would be your recommendations for, you know, for people based on your knowledge and wisdom?
Well, it's said that free will is the ultimate human superpower. And if that's true, then choices are really what determine our destiny. So in order to become super powerful, we've got to become better choosers. So the question is just, how well can we use our free will? And in order to use our free will well, we have to have a total awareness of the things that are affecting how we choose. And that includes both obvious factors that affect how we choose, as well as the invisible factors that are affecting how we choose. And those invisible factors are everything from our psychology, our culture, gender narratives, past experiences we may have had in our life, as well as natural things that affect us, right? Ecology and weather changes. And on that supra level, this has to do with the quantum field and energy and vibration and harmony that's affecting us. So as we are becoming more masterful of our free will, it is going to require us to become more informed about both the visible and invisible factors affecting our choices. And Jarvis, that's where you and I have been excited to play for years, is in those realms of invisible influences.
So absolutely beautiful. I love that, Muriel. Thank you. Thank you. Just remind everybody that's listening how they can find you. It's symbolic, your website, isn't it? Just tell everybody what it is.
Absolutely. If you're curious to learn more about your individual life path and purpose and what the timeline of your life could imply, then you're free to contact me at www.livesymbolic.com. That's LiveSymbolik.com, or reach out to me on Instagram at LiveSymbolic. I'm really friendly and I love to talk about the meaning of life, where society is going, and everything spiritual.
Absolutely beautiful. I'm going to get you to do my adverts. That was perfection. We're going to play out with Save the World by yours truly, Jarvis Smith, featuring Rita Mora. Play this song as much as you can. Let's help raise money for Fridays for Futures Mapper, the most effective people in areas. Muriel Lewin, thank you. It's been a pleasure. We love you. I'll see you all next week. Have a super week, the build up before Christmas. Much love to you all. Catch you next Monday.